He wanted his money back.
Before June, I was paying child support.
So he stole it from his son.
$1,527.51.
Why did you withdraw your son's money?
When he came to live with me, I just figured that I was entitled to the child support back.
This father doesn't know best.
Let me give you the facts of life. You pay for it. He doesn't pay for it. And I never heard of something so ridiculous in my life.
Judge Judy.
Hello?
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinman. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is her courtroom. This is Judge Judy. 18-year-old cook Michael Hubbard is suing his father, 47-year-old electrician Ray Hubbard, for stealing money from his bank account. Ray says he was entitled to it.
Order. All rise.
Yes, this is case number 477 on the calendar in the matter of Hubbard versus Hubbard. Parties have been sworn in. Judge, you may be seated. Ladies, have seats, please.
You're Michael.
Yes.
Michael, the defendant is your father, and according to your complaint, when you were 16 or 17, you had a job.
Yes.
Or two jobs.
Two, yes.
And you and your dad opened a bank account and deposited your money in the account. The money was all your money. You needed his signature on the account because you were a minor.
Yes.
And then there was some sort of a dispute involving your father and your mother, and they're divorced?
Separated.
And your father withdrew all the money from your account?
All of it, but $2.51.
And how much money did you have in the account?
Before he withdrew it, I had $1,527.51.
Why did you withdraw your son's money?
$775 I drew out for room and board when he stayed with me for 2 months.
All right, so let's start with the $775 that you withdrew for room and board.
Yes.
When did he live with you?
From June 20th until August 20th.
And how old was your son in June of 2001?
17.
When did he turn 18?
December 11th.
You can't charge him for room and board. You're his father. You're responsible for him.
Ma'am, he was living with his mother at the time, and he came to, with her agreement, came to live with me so he could work.
Mm-hmm.
Before June, I was paying child support.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came to live with me, I just figured that I was entitled to the child support back.
You figured wrong. You may be entitled to the child support back, but not from him.
When this all started out, I acknowledged to him that I was going to do this, and he had
I don't care what you acknowledge to him. And even if he agreed that he'd pay you room and board, even if he agreed, which he didn't, you can't hold a minor to a contract. I mean, I never heard of something so ridiculous in my life. Your son worked, he put money in the bank, he was saving for, I don't know, college, future, whatever. You decided later to withdraw money because you figured he owed you for room and board. Outrageous! What's next? What's next? $775.
Yes.
Room and board. What else did you take out?
Me and his mother had a dispute on child support that I owed. We went to court about that. And, you know, in order to get a lawyer, I told him I was going to take some money out to pay for their lawyer. That was because of another situation that was going on.
What?
His grades in school that I was trying to get custody back for him.
Yes.
To make him do better in school.
So?
And I had to get a lawyer in order to do that.
So? You wanted him to pay for the lawyer so that you could get custody of him?
No, I did not want him to pay for the lawyer.
Well, but he did. That's what you just told me. You took money out of his account so that you could pay for a lawyer to get custody of him. Isn't that what you just told me?
Yes, I did.
Well, am I correct? I mean, when you cut through all the baloney, that's what it was.
But I told him I was going to do this in order to file for custody for him.
Well,
and when I told him that, he had no problem with it.
What do you mean he had no problem with it?
He didn't disagree or agree.
Mr. Hubbard, what do you do for a living?
I'm an electrician, ma'am.
Well, let me give you the facts of life, Mr. Hubbard. The facts of life are parents support their children and provide for necessaries for their children until their children reach the age of majority. Then if they're really lucky, the children will take care of themselves. Only if they're really lucky. Most parents take care of their children even after they've reached their majority. They pay for college, they pay for books, they pay for clothes, they pay for trips. They pay for medical, they pay for dental, they pay for orthodontia, they pay for cars, they pay for gas, they pay for dating. When they're 19 and 20 and 21 and 22, and sometimes even until they're 30. You, on the other hand, want your child to pay for himself, for his room and board, as well as for a lawyer for you. Hello? Michael, your father is misguided. You're entitled to your money back, Michael. Now, I assume at this point you and your father aren't getting along too well.
No.
And I assume that it will take some time for that to work itself out, if it ever does. Maybe he understands that he did the wrong thing. Maybe.
May I say something else, you
mentioned? Yeah, sure.
I got custody of him on December 14th, 99. His grades were falling bad. When I finally got custody of him, I made him do his homework, and his grades came up. And then his mother filed, 9 months later, filed for custody back of him because I was being too hard on him. I was making him do his homework. I was making him tell me where he was all this time, anytime he was out. Well, that's too hard on him as far as she's concerned. So she got custody back of him, and I have his report cards here showing that when he was with me, he was doing better. And now that he's with her, he's completely failing.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. 18-year-old Michael Hubbard says his father, Ray Hubbard, stole money from his bank account. Ray says he needed the money.
Your job as a parent is to do what is best for your child, to look into...
That's what I was trying to do. I had his interest in heart all the time.
Fine. Let us say I absolutely agree that you felt as if he needed a stronger hand in order to do his work so that he could do well in school, so that he could move on. You felt as if you had to, as a parent, fight for custody so that he would do better. Is that fair? Is that a fair statement, sir?
No, sir. No, ma'am, that's not what I was doing.
I thought that's what you were doing.
Well, I am. But as far as his mother is concerned, she won't let him grow up.
It doesn't make any difference. Well, you're not listening to me, sir. I said you felt as if you had to do what you did in pursuing custody of him because you felt as if it was in his best interest.
Yes, I still do.
And you still do?
Yes.
Good. He doesn't pay for that. You pay for that. That's a necessary, not for him. That's a legal necessary for you. You, as a parent, are supposed to do the right thing. You felt in your heart the right thing was that he live with you. You would be a better parent for him at this stage in his life. Good for you. You pay for it.
I understand that.
Good. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $1,527.51. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
A parent should be more responsible.
If it's in the best interest of the child.
A minor shouldn't have to pay for room and board.
I'm going to keep fighting it.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Bell versus Clark, step forward, please.
53-year-old William Bell is suing his girlfriend's former friend, 42-year-old secretary Elizabeth Clark, for having him falsely arrested. Elizabeth says William threatened to kill her. She is countersuing for harassment.
Mr. Bell, you are suing the defendant for having you falsely arrested on charges of threatening and harassing her. She is counterclaiming for harassment. Let me understand the relationship. You have a girlfriend or had a girlfriend. The defendant is a friend of your former girlfriend.
Yes, ma'am.
You were having some difficulty with the girlfriend. You call the defendant to sort of act as an intermediary and to talk to her and see if you could put things back together again. The defendant then called the police and said that you had threatened her. You were arrested.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. When did you call her?
February 17th of 2001.
Had you ever called her before?
No, ma'am.
Okay. And tell me about the conversation that you had with her.
I didn't have a conversation with her. I got her voicemail.
Okay.
And I left a message who it was, and I was staying at Baymont Inn Motel. Could you please give me a call?
Why were you staying at a motel?
I had moved out of my girlfriend's house.
So you and your girlfriend had lived together and...
Yes,
had
we're together now. Yes,
you are back together,
yes,
now.
Yes, we've been together, yes.
So you went out and stayed at a motel?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, you left a voice message and I assume she called you back.
She called me back, ma'am, approximately 4:35 o'clock that evening.
What was the conversation?
Her first question was, when I answered the phone, is this Bill Bell? And I said, yes. She says, William Bell. And I said, yes, it is. Then she started getting very belligerent.
Don't tell me belligerent. That's a conclusion, Mr. Yeah. Bell. Yeah. Tell me what she said to you.
She was cursing at me for calling
Tell
her.
Me what she said. I'm a big girl. I'm over 21. I know that's hard to believe, but I am.
You want
the... I want the words she said to you, that you claim she said to you.
She called me a... I don't want to say it on TV. Mother. A son
yes.
of... That I was going to get her fired from her job for calling her work.
When did you call her work?
I found out later that the number I called, which was her home phone number, is a work number at her home.
Okay, so first she cursed you, you say, because she called her at her work number. Right. And then what did she say to you?
She told me that she was going to get even with me for calling her. And I apologized for calling and leaving the message on her phone.
Well, what message did you leave on her phone?
Just my name and the phone number where I was at.
Okay.
And I told her I was going to hang up. And she says, if you hang up, you're going to pay for it big time. And I went ahead and hung up anyway because I'd already apologized and she was still cursing me.
And when were you arrested, sir?
A while later that they had a warrant out for my arrest. And I talked to the police officer who had called the motel to get a hold of me and left a message.
No, look at me. Stop playing with your papers.
I called the officer back and he told me there was a warrant. And I went down. I believe it was in April. I went down and I turned myself in.
You didn't find out about this warrant until April?
No, ma'am.
What happened to the charges?
Well, the charges were dropped the 2nd of October because the defendant never showed up for court.
Okay. And do you have a copy of the complaint?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to see that. And, Ms. Clark, I would like to see a copy of the police report that you made at the same time.
Okay. And he called me more than one time.
Wait. I'm going to get to you, I promise
you. Sorry.
When did you advise the police of these phone calls, Ms.
Clark? It was probably the middle of February.
Okay, just one second.
Okay.
So you did not call the police the day that he made the phone calls, the day that you had the conversation?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you
did?
So you called the police the same day. All right.
Yes.
Now, Ms. Clark, I would like you to tell me, he left a message on your voicemail to call him. The message that he left on your voicemail was not threatening to you.
No, it's when I talked to him.
And so I am correct. It was not threatening to you, and you knew who he was because...
This is the first time I've ever seen this man.
But you knew who he was because of your girlfriend.
Right.
That's what... Just pay attention.
Okay, sorry.
Now, I want you to tell me your version of the conversation.
Okay. I work two jobs. I also work at a golf course.
Is this relevant to my question?
Yes, it is. He went in to my employer, who I have a letter from, was asking for my address and my phone number. Since then, I don't even know this man. He's taken me to court and
I want you, Ms. Clark, to answer my question.
Okay.
My question is, I want you to tell me what the phone conversation was when you returned his phone call.
He wanted me to get his girlfriend.
Tell me what he said.
He wanted to know if I would call Lou and get them back together, reconcile their differences.
And what did you say to him?
No.
Did you tell him why?
Mm-hmm.
What did you say? Tell me what you said.
I said, because I think that what you did was wrong, and I think she's better off without you.
And what did he say in response?
Then he got aggravated.
That's a conclusion.
Okay.
What did he say?
He said, well, that doesn't help me out a bit. And I really don't recall the rest of the conversation. It was a long time ago.
Well, you have to tell me the rest of the conversation. That's the basis of the...
Just more or less said that he wanted me to call Lou, and he said, you're the only one she'll listen to, and you need to get this situation taken care of for me or else.
At that point, did you hang up on him?
I don't recall.
Well, did you have any further conversation?
He called so many times on my caller ID, it was...
Okay. Now, did you ever speak to him after that?
No.
You never spoke to him after that?
Nope.
And the conversation that you just relayed to me is, to the best of your recollection, the sum and substance of the conversation?
Yes, ma'am.
Then, Ms. Clark, I'm going to ask you the following questions.
Okay.
It's clear to me that you said, I'm not going to help you. He said, that doesn't help me any. You better help me or else. Those were pretty much his exact words, as you remember.
Pretty much, yeah.
Then can you tell me why you told the police that he said to you, I will get you, I will kill you, just a second.
I'm sorry.
I will get you, I will kill you, and then I will kill myself.
That is true.
Well, Ms. Clark, I asked you three times.
I know, I'm sorry.
Three times what he said to you. Now, you got the police's attention, certainly, when you told the police, he said, I'll get you, and then I'll kill myself, and I'll kill Lou, and I'll kill everybody. It seems to me that that would be the first thing that you would say. Not forget it, but that would be the first thing. I will kill you is something that you remember, not I'll get even or you'll get yours, or I will kill you is something that sticks in your mind. In order to get to the police's attention, they say, well, you know, that's really not a threat. You know, you'll get yours is not a threat. I'll kill you is a threat that the police pay attention to.
I will get you.
I will get you is one thing, but I seriously doubt, based upon our testimony today, that he said to you, I will get you, which you didn't tell me. I will kill you. I will kill Lou. And then I will kill myself. Kill, kill. That you remember. And that the police might respond to, but not, you'll get yours. Okay. Now let's go back a second. You started to tell me that he's taken you to court three times.
Yes, yes.
Now, I want you to tell me about the three occasions when he's taken you to court.
Okay. He has put two restraining orders against me. The first time that I went to court is when I pressed the charges against him. He didn't show up. So
when was the first time that he pressed charges against you?
April.
April.
Mm-hmm. And then after he hadn't shown up for twice for court, it was dismissed with prejudice on August 16th.
So in April, he filed a charge against you for something. For what, Mr. Bell? For what?
After this deal
after
in February,
the warrant.
I had all the telephone calls we were getting and hang-ups. We were getting calls 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Did you know where they were coming from?
Yes, ma'am.
How did you know where they were coming from?
Caller ID showed York Equipment.
Boy, you know, you think this caller ID was a wonderful invention, and it turns out it's used for all kinds of different things. All right, so he filed two restraining orders against you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know something? It sounds like a little bit of an abusive process, but Ms. Clark, based upon what you did and having him arrested, I think that he was exercising probably restraint. I don't believe that there was any basis for you to have him arrested. I don't believe that he threatened to kill you. I believe that you got the police's attention. That's what I believe. Based on your testimony today, he never threatened to kill you. Never. All right. Miss Clark's statement to the police was designed to get their attention.
Because it was said.
No. It was not said, Miss Clark, because on three separate occasions, giving you every opportunity today to recount what he said to you, the most important thing would be to any normal person was he threatened to kill me by saying, I will kill you. I will kill Lou. Then I'll kill myself. Time and time again, all you said was, the last time around, you'll get yours or I'll get you or something like that. You left out, I'll get you.
That's after 10 or 11 calls, though, Your Honor.
Just a second. You never spoke to him again, madam. You spoke to him once, and then you said you did not take the other calls because you saw his caller ID.
But he left messages.
He left messages. Let me hear them.
I don't have them.
Well, it also seems to me, Miss Clark, that if someone threatened you with bodily harm to an extent that you called the police, and then if you were listening to messages, you would retain them, bring the tape.
I don't have
so that there would be no... You would get a tape so the police could listen to them and then pursue this matter, because then you're dealing with a real nut. He's suing you for $5,000, which he is absolutely entitled to, and I am granting his judgment for $5,000 against you, and I'm dismissing your counterclaim. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues.
I'm really glad it's over with.
I'm glad it's all over, Neil. Leave me alone now.
If you got a problem, take it to court.
I want to be done with him. I don't even know him.